Okay, we are on page 8 in our syllabus. And before we go any further, I do want to make a correction. Still learning, still growing in this, but let's stop first and let's pray. We thank you, Father, for your word, that your word gives us direction in our life. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Jesus prayed to the Father, and the Father sent you. You're our guide, Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, you are our illuminator, you're the one who gives us understanding. We ask you to do that for us today, to anoint us, to life this word inside of us, Father, so that we can go out and give it to others and bring the life of Christ, show the life of Christ, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Yes. Amen. Okay, I want to bring a correction to one of your pages, and I'm still learning and growing in this. I told you that I will document my sources at the end of this, some of these things the Lord has given me and adding to as I go along, but I do believe that you give credit to where credit is due when you learn from someone else. But on page 7, I had put there, I listed for you the three words for tithe. There are three different Hebrew words that translate into one English word, tithe, on page 7 at the bottom. There is maser, Rishon, Maser Rishon, which is the Lord's tithe, Maser Shanai, which is the family tithe, and there's Maser Anai, and I've got self-tithe. Now, it is a self-tithe, but I need to give you more explanation there. I need you to put out beside it, it comes out of the family tithe. It comes out of the family tithe, and it's a tithe to the poor. Okay. It comes out of the family tithe, and it's a tithe to the poor. And we're going to learn more about that. You're going to hear that again. But I wanted you to correct, please correct that place on your syllabus. And I do that for the sake of everyone listening that's going to be listening to the recording too, that you know, give you some more explanation on that. Okay, page 8, we're going to look at, I know everyone in this room believes this, and I am so sorry I don't have any more copies, because we have three beautiful people right there that don't have anything to follow. Somebody, I'll let you use this if you won't write on it. No, you can write on it, because I have another one. Do I have another one? No, I don't have another one. I don't even have page 8. I don't have an extra 8. Someone let these, Faith and her two granddaughters have something to follow. That's just not right of us to sit here and not. And I'm sorry, I thought I had.
Is that 8?
This is 8 that we're doing right now.
Can I take a picture of that and read off of that?
Well, you can take a picture of someone has 8 that doesn't have their notes on it. My notes are on this one. Yeah, yes, you may. Absolutely. Okay. And I made a lot of copies, but I will make more. Okay. Okay. So, we talked about an expectation of harvest. I'm not going to go over that again. We've already discussed that. It is on our, it's on our web. It's on our web page. You can go and get it. Okay. And I think there's 10 lessons on there now. So the lessons don't always correspond with the page number. But the last lesson we taught, and I believe he puts the date on there too, was lesson 10. Okay, so today's will be on there as lesson 11. Anyway, so you can go and be, you know, rebriefed on that, whatever you missed. I believe everyone in this room knows that a believer should tithe, okay? So this is not a rebuke in any way to anyone in this room. I'm sure we know that. But this is a reminder and encouragement to us, okay? This will also help you to teach others about tithing, okay? Why should a believer tithe? Okay? First of all, I don't have this as a point there, but I think it's worth documenting that when you tithe, you acknowledge who is the source of your blessing. Okay? If you'll just write that right under there, I'm going to go back and add it on to my notes. When I print out the new copies, it'll be on there. But it acknowledges who is the source of your blessing. That's why you should tithe. Okay. Acknowledges who is the source of your blessing or your increase. Okay. When we do not tithe as believers, we are not acknowledging God. We are not acknowledging God as the source of our blessing in our life. It's just plain. Tithing is worship. Tithing is worship of God as much as any other part of our worship of God is. It's worship, okay? Point one, I'm going to read this and then we're going to look at it. I'm going to give you some more scriptures too to go along with that. Tithing is a vital part of covenant. It's a part of covenant. If you have a covenant with God, that means God's made some promises to you. Okay?
Yes.
And you've made a commitment to God. It's not for the church. The church is where you put it, but you're not doing it for the church. You're not doing it to the church. You're doing it unto who?
God.
God. And God, of course, there's no way for us to get our money straight to heaven. Okay? So we put it in God's house. And God's house, God will judge that place. Oh, yes, He will. God will judge that place if they have been faithful to administer what His people have given. Okay. It's serious. Tithing is serious. It's serious. It's serious business, not only for the person who gives it, but the place that receives it. And that's why I love Miss Arabella. She would always say, I can still hear these words and ringing in my head as I would sit in the church office. And Carolyn's probably heard them before, and many of us have probably heard it. Lord, give us wisdom. This is not our money. This is God's money. This is God's money. Okay? So the words still ring out in my mind. Okay. And while we're on this note, I'm just going to say something. I'm going to be so bold to say this, that I put you to the test just like the Lord put you to the test. If you tithe and you don't have enough groceries in your house, you call me and I'll see to it that you've got, my husband and I will see to it you've got groceries in your house. I'm a testimony. We're a testimony of it. I'm going to give this brief testimony. Remember I told you before, I wanted to be home with my children. When I worked at this bank I work for now for 9 years, I wanted to be home with my children. Dean and I, at one point, Dean was like, let's do it. And I was like, my faith just wasn't right there. Lord, I see how much it takes. It takes both incomes to pay our bills. And then at one moment, I was, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. And Dean, you know, he just wasn't quite sure. And then one day I could take you through my house, walk you up the hall into the kitchen. Had a very stressful morning getting two children, one ready to go to school, the other one ready to go to daycare so I could go to work. And I said, Lord, walked into the kitchen and said, Lord, when am I going to be able to stay home with my children? And just like I'm speaking to you, He said, when you quit work.
God's simple answer.
And the Lord told me, He said, you trust me with the tithe. You honor me with the tithe. You know that's holy and set apart to God. But what you fail to understand is the rest of it's just as holy. The rest of it is just, and I'll make it work. I'll make it stretch. I'll make it be enough. Now, were there some things I had to draw back from? Yes. There were some things I had to draw. I couldn't buy everything I wanted to buy at the grocery store necessarily. I couldn't go out on shopping sprees and buy all the things or waste money. I had to be conservative with my money, but I've given this testimony before. The Lord would bring my family's favorite pizza to our door. Pizza Hut. He wouldn't just bring pizza. He'd bring our most favorite pizza. We'd have people show up at our door. We went out to eat, had some extra pizza, thought of your family. Our favorite pizza, Pizza Hut, at that time. Sorry, Pizza Hut, you're not my favorite right now. But was our favorite then. So I'm telling you that God will bless you. He'll make up the difference of what you think you won't have. That's just a testimony there. And I know the rest of you have testimony of that. He will. He will see to it. But the rest of it is holy. We are just as responsible for how we spend every bit of the increase God brings into our house. We are just as responsible. Every bit of it is holy. Because it came from who?
God.
It came from God. Okay. So this principle was passed down from family to family. Tithing began before the law was handed down to Moses. So some people say, I don't tithe because I'm under grace. I'm under the new covenant. I'm not under the old covenant. The old covenant teaches on tithe. You know that is still Some believers still hold on to that. But this disproves that, because the tithe began before God handed down the law to Moses. Tithing is not a Levitical law principle. It is a principle that was set in motion by God, and it began with Abraham in Genesis chapter 14. And we're going to turn there now, if you will. Genesis 14, 7 through 20. Okay? See, Genesis 14, 17 through 20. Verse 17 through 20. Yes.
With respect to what you just said about people who talk about not tithing because they live under grace now, mm-hmm. and we consider Jesus' teachings as teachings under grace.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Jesus taught that the Pharisee came in, blew the trumpet, so to speak, to make sure everybody saw him give his offerings. But Jesus said it was the widow who gave everything she had. Mm-hmm. So these people who live under grace should give their whole paycheck, not just a piece of it.
Oh, wow. Whoa, now that's a good thought. Did y'all get that? If Jesus in the new covenant, said that the widow gave everything she had, then the people that complained about giving the tenth, if they want to live under grace, then they should give their whole paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
You better watch out. You understand what he's saying?
Yes.
Jesus said she gave all of what she had.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, let's move right on along. Under Genesis 14, 7 through 20, I want you, 17, I'm sorry, under that category that says Genesis 4, chapter 14, 17 through 20, the verses, I want you to also write down Hebrews 5, verses 6 and verse 10, and also Hebrews chapter 7, okay? Okay, so we're going to see the blessing that God brings on the tither. It's a part of covenant. It's an agreement between God and us to take care of us. I want to stay in covenant with God. I want to stay in covenant with God. I want God to take care of me, right? And it's a part of, it's not like, do I have to pay my tithe? No, you get to. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's where the lesser worships the greater. Okay?
Yes.
Now, let's go there and let's read this. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background here. I'm not going to read all this, but we're going to get straight to the heart of it. Okay, there's a war. Abraham and Lot have separated. These five kings are coming against five kings, and two of those kings are from Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot has chosen to live in Sodom. Remember that? He went to Sodom. He and Abraham separated. He went to Sodom. Now, these five kings are at war with another king who actually instigated the war. And so there's five kings warring against four kings here. And the king, if you go back to verse 8, King Kedorlaomer of Elam, he came against these other kings. They had the victory. So we're going to go down to verse number 12. They captured Lot. They came to Sodom and Gomorrah on their way home from the victory. These kings, okay? Mm-hmm. And they came to Sodom, and they captured Lot, Abraham's nephew, who lived in Sodom. And they carried off everything he owned. Verse 13. But one of Lot's men escaped to tell Abraham about it, okay? And in verse 14, Abraham, when he heard that his nephew had been captured, he mobilized 318 trained men. Now, you talk about the covenant, the protection of God when you're in covenant with God. 318 men are going to war against four kings and their army. Are you getting that? Who had been born in his household. Then he pursued Kedorlaomer's army until he caught up with them at Dan. And it says there he divided his men, attacked during the night, And Abraham recovered all the goods that had been taken. Let's say that. Abraham recovered all the goods that had been taken. He brought back his nephew Lot and his possessions and all the women and the other captives. He recovered it all. He brought back Lot and recovered it all. Okay? So this is where we're getting to. This is the heart of it. This is the covenant. After Abram returned from his victory over Chedorlaomer and his allies, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. That is the king's valley. Now we have a new king coming on the scene here. That's the king of Sodom. Okay? The king of Sodom. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Now here's the new one coming on the scene, really. It wasn't the king of Sodom. It was the king of Salem. Verse 18. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of the Most High God, brought Abram some bread and wine. Now I'm going to read through this, and we're going to go back and we're going to break it down. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has defeated your enemies for you. So, who was doing the fighting for Abraham?
God.
Because Abraham had a what with God?
Covenant
with God. Okay. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods that he had recovered. Do you see anywhere before that Melchizedek asked Abraham to give a tenth? So would you say that was a heart? Would you say he did that from his heart? Okay. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. The king of Sodom said to Abram, now this is one of the kings that was trying to fight against this other king, and you read it for yourself, Chedorlaomer. He was one of the kings that was trying to fight against this other king that was coming against them. He was defending himself, okay? Okay? So this king of Sodom said to Abraham, give back my people who were captured. You may keep for yourself all the goods you have recovered. Now, Abraham had recovered it all, but look at Abraham's attitude here. Look at Abraham's attitude. Abram replied to the king of Sodom, I solemnly swear to the Lord, the Most High Creator of heaven and earth, I will not take so much as a single thread or a sandal thong from what belongs to you. Otherwise, you might say... Otherwise, you might say, I am the one who made Abram rich. Mm-hmm. Would you say that Abram knew who the source and the blesser of his life was?
Yes.
I'm not taking anything from you, king of Sodom, because I know you're going to say, this is me paraphrase, I know what the flesh is going to do. Now you know you owe me.
Yeah.
Now you know you owe me. I did this for you and you owe me. And the next time flesh gets in trouble, now you owe me, you remember. That's not a gift of love. If anybody does anything for you and they expect something back, that's not a gift of love. That's not a gift of love. It's not. Okay? Abram replied to the king of Sodom, I solemnly swear to the Lord Most High God, creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal thong from what belongs to you. Otherwise, you might say, I am the one who made Abram rich. I will only accept what my young warriors have already eaten. Look at that. He thought about others. He thought about his people. He thought about his family, y'all. He thought about those people, those 318 trained men that went out with him, y'all. You see what covenant does? You see what being generous toward God does? It makes you generous toward other people. Oh, my goodness. I will accept only what my young warriors have already eaten, and I request that you give a fair share of the goods to my allies. Look at that. I want those who fought with me, Aner, Ishkal, and Mamre. I want you to give something to them too, king of Sodom. I've got a note here in my Bible. A righteous man remembers covenant and will not misuse God's blessings. Come on now. A righteous man remembers covenant and will not misuse God's blessings. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Let's talk about this. And I want any comments you might have that are that are pertinent to this, and then we're going to go on over to Hebrew. Look at this. Okay, the bread and the wine. Go back to verse 18. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and a priest of the Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. What does that sound like to you? Ma'am? Communion or covenant. That is what we do around the Lord's table, the Passover, the covenant meal, the bread and the wine. Look at that. He knew that he knew deep inside of him. He didn't know who Melchizedek was, but he knew that God had given him the victory. And we're going to find out who Melchizedek was and is, because he still exists. We're going to find out. Okay? So, he knew that the presence of God, Abraham knew. How many of you can recognize, you know, when the presence of God is with you?
Amen.
Okay? And if we have a hard time doing that, we say, Lord, I need to practice your presence. Mm-hmm. Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to practice your presence. I invoke your presence. I welcome your presence. I know you're with me, but you have to be aware that he's with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so you have to be aware that he's always with you. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. But how do you, just like if you want to remember someone, you want to remember them. You think about them, right?
Yeah.
To remember them, someone that you love. So if you want to think about God or you want to be aware of his presence, then you call on him.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, I know you're with me. I need to feel your presence. I want to, Father God, I want to feel your presence today. Help me to acknowledge that you were with me all day long when I see you moving in my life. Practice the presence of God in our life. Abraham did. He knew. He knew. Abram knew here that this man, that the presence of God was with him to take out 318 of his trained men to defeat armies like this. He knew God was with him. So, let's go on to Hebrew. Let's find out who Melchizedek is, okay? Let's go on over there and let's talk about this. And then I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to open it up and give you a chance to share. So, tithing is a part of covenant. Do you see this? Abram did this before the law was instituted, right? So tithing is not under the law, saints. Tithing is covenant with God. Okay?
It's basically out of the heart.
Yes.
You could say.
That's right.
It says to be a faithful giver.
That's right. It's a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
It is a heart. As a matter of fact, your giving proves it is a demonstration of your heart, of your spiritual condition, if you're generous toward God. So let's go on over to Hebrews.
It's funny when you say that, because I had a discussion with a gentleman at work, Jehovah's Witness. They don't believe in tithing.
Mm.
They don't say they tithe. They say they put collection boxes in their halls and people give what they want to
give. Okay.
But they claim that this was Old Testament and was removed, and they bring up other scriptures to try to contradict it. It's just funny.
As a matter of fact, they wouldn't... Tell him to search out the Didache. If he believes in the New Testament, tell him to search out the Didache. The Didache is a writing of the early apostles of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find the Didache, the tithe, the first fruits and the tithe and the giving to the poor. Everything God instituted in the Old Covenant was carried over to the New. As a matter of fact, I brought this up weeks ago and I'll bring it up again. The first fruits... When you do it, you're doing it as unto God. We're going to study more about first fruits. This is not about first fruits today. But they were so serious about this because it is God set it down in order. Okay? You're not doing it when you give it to the pastor, which is where it was the priest in those days. In this days, it would be the pastor. You're doing it as unto the Lord. The Didache was so serious about this. It was a writing of the apostles. 12 apostles. Of course, they had to replace Judas. But of the 12 apostles, and it said that you, writing to the church, you honor God with the first fruits. If you wear the man, and they said man, of God in the house, well, the pastor was worthy of the first fruits. And if you felt like they were not worthy and you did not receive spiritual instruction from them, then give it to the poor. But you best not keep it.
Mm.
Then you give it to the poor. You release it. You don't keep it. And like we said before, it is 2.5%, and people want to argue over 2.5%. And like I said before, you're not giving it to the man or the woman of God. You're giving it unto God. And they have a responsibility, as I told you, I've said before, I cry out to God, God, keep, make me, help me to be fertile ground and give me a pure heart before you, God. Because I expect a blessing the way you give it. There's supposed to be a good ground that you're sowing into. And I expect a blessing to come back upon your life. Okay, so we're going to move on. I said I wasn't going to teach on that today. Didache off the top of my head is spelled D-I-A-C-H-E-T-E, I believe. D-I-A-C-H-E-T-E, I believe. I believe that's how it's spelled.
Correct. The Didache? D-I-D. Is it D-I-D-A-C-H-E?
That's correct. That's correct. That's
D-I-T-A-C-H-E. D-I-D-A-C-H-E.
Okay. Okay.
That's so, about the teaching of the 12 apostles.
That's right. To the early church. It was to the early church. Okay, no, it's not, wasn't added to the Bible, but it was a teaching to the early church followed. But let's keep on going. Let's go into Hebrews. Let's go with Hebrews chapter 5, okay? Now, this gets exciting, and we're only going to get to point 1 today. I can see that already. Okay, start at 5. That is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming that he could be high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." Okay? And in another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Go down to verse 10. And God designated him, the Lord Jesus, to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now, I want to encourage you to go back and read Hebrews chapter 5. I want to encourage you to go back and read Hebrews chapter 7. There's no way that we're going to be able to do all that today. But I do want to encourage you, because that goes right along with your blessing this week. You had a question, Denise?
That's chapter
5,
6.
Verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 10. You can also back up to verse 5 also, ma'am. Verse 5. There's only one high priest over the church. Who is that?
Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one high priest, and that is him. And who gave him that authority to be called high priest? His Father. In verse 5. Okay. Okay, now let's go on over to Hebrews 7. Now this is referencing back in Genesis chapter 14, what we just read, okay? Y'all bear with me. This is exciting. This is good. And I'll give you a chance to share. I know I'm doing all the talking. Okay, this Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of the Most High God. When Abraham was returning home from winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. So that blessing I read this morning is the Lord Jesus, the high priest, blessing us. That's a high priest blessing over us. Amen.
Amen.
He will fight your enemies.
Okay.
You don't lift your hand against them. Mm-hmm. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He will repay. You don't lift your hands against them. He will fight your enemies for you.
I don't know where the verse is, Ms. Kathy, but it says, "This is not your battle. Stand back and watch me work."
This is not your battle.
Stand back and watch me work.
Amen. I believe that is another translation of "Vengeance belongs to the Lord, I will repay." I believe that might be another translation of that, but we'll find that, okay? Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. A tenth. That's a tithe, right? That's a tithe. The name Melchizedek means king of justice and the king of Salem, which means king of peace. Who does that sound like?
Jesus.
Jesus. Okay, I have to get my husband to help me with this word. There is a word that theologians use when there is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. It's called a Christ, Christophany. Christophany, if you want to write it down. C-H-R-I-S-O-P-H.
C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-A-N-Y.
Say it loud so everyone here can hear it. Please.
C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-A-N-Y.
Christophany. That is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Now, Christ has always been and has always existed, right?
Yes.
John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And nothing that was made was not made by Him. I really didn't say that right at all. And there was nothing that was made that was not made by Him. Okay? So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and it was God. Jesus, that's everything that was made has His fingerprints on. There you go. That's the that's the Dean Miller translation. Yes. Now, so in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. Okay. So, before Jesus came to Earth, He was known as the Word. Before when he came to earth, what did the angel say? Tell Mary to call him. What was his name? His name is, you will call him Jesus. Okay? Emmanuel. God is with us. But before he came to earth, he already existed, right? Is that right? And he existed as the eternal Word of God. He existed as the Word of God. So he's called the Ancient of Days. He has no beginning, and he has no ending. Does God have a beginning?
No.
Does God have an ending?
No.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John goes on to say, we have beheld, or we have handled, the Word of God. We saw Him in the flesh. And then he goes on to say, we saw Christ, Jesus. Okay? That's why we say the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Because Christ, the Lord, He's not just Jesus. We can call Him Jesus. That's fine if we do. But He is the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ stands for the eternal Word and the anointing on the Word. So it's, Christ means the anointed one and His anointing.
Yes.
His Word. Christ, the Word of God, dwells among us. Okay, so He's always existed. He's never had a beginning. No one can ever.
He is the beginning.
Actually, Annette, there was more going on before the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, that means in our beginning.
Right.
The book of in the beginning God made, that's our beginning. Mm-hmm. God, yeah. if you wrap your mind around it, God existed before the beginning.
That's
right.
He is the beginning, and He is the end.
He is eternity.
Mm-hmm.
He came into time to get us to take us back into eternity. God lives in eternity. He came into time to get us and take us back into eternity.
He made the light.
Wait a minute.
Ooh.
Eternity past, eternity future.
Mm.
And that makes
sense. My daddy said, I felt that one. I thank God I don't always have to feel Him to know He's with me, but I thank God I can have a witness of His Spirit.
Ooh,
I felt that one.
That's good.
Woo, I'm still feeling that one.
That's good.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, He came into time to get us.
When I pray,
to take us back
into
eternity.
I don't say, Lord, give me strength. I say, no, you are my strength.
That's right. You are my portion. You are my strength. You are my inheritance. You are my reward.
You are
my cup. You are my everything.
Yes,
you are my all in all.
Yes,
that's right.
God.
You are my wisdom. You are my understanding.
Ooh.
Glory to God. That's good preaching, Holy Ghost. That's good preaching. Mm. Let's keep on going. So let's find out about Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a Christophany, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament before he came as a human in Bethlehem. You got it? Okay, because let's read about let's prove it. Let's prove it. Okay? Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means king of justice and king of Salem. And king of Salem means king of peace. So he was called the king of justice and the king of peace. Amen? There is no record of his father. This Melchizedek. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors. No record. No beginning or end to his life. Could that be a mere man? No. And if it were an angel, God would have said it was an angel. There are times that angels appeared to Abraham. This was not an angel. You know why, Carmen? Because we don't do what to angels?
We don't worship
angels. So it is not an angel.
Yes.
The name Melchizedek. Okay, let's go on. There is no record of his father or his mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Goodness. He remains a son. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Who's got another translation? I've got the NLT. Who's got the King James or the New King James or the Amplified? I just want you to read verse 3. Who's got that? Hebrews 7, verse 3. What translation are you reading from?
I think this is the NIV.
Who's got the Amplified or the King James? I just want to see some different. Just look and see what it is, Annette. It might not.
Hebrews 7:3.
Okay, let me come over there. I want to see how this reads. Hebrews 7:3. Speaking of Melchizedek.
Without record of father or mother or ancestral line, nor with beginning of days or ending of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues to be a priest without interruption and without successor.
Wow. Okay. Who is the expressed, I'm going to get through, I see your hand. Who's the expressed image of God?
Jesus
Christ. So when we say like, that doesn't mean he's a separate person, because Jesus is as much God, the Father, right? The Trinity, right? So don't get confused by the word of like. It means they're the same, resembling. Melchizedek was an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Okay? Okay, someone else had another translation?
This is King James.
Okay.
Without father, without mother, without descendants, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abide a priest continuously.
Okay. Yes. Okay, and that like unto the Son of God is capitalized there, Son of God. There's only one Son of God, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Okay, is that what you had King James too?
Yeah. Okay. The same thing like Sister Caroline.
Okay.
King James.
Okay. What translation do you have in that?
I had the New King James Version. It's about
okay.
The same.
Okay. So it's about the same thing. Okay. So let's keep on going. Now, consider verse 4. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. So that is where the lesser worships the greater. That's what tithing is about. It's worship of the lesser, honoring the greater, and knowing, God, you're the provider of my life. Now, the law of Moses required that the priests who were descendants of Levi must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel, who were also descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham. You see what I'm saying? This came into before Levitical law. And Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham, the one who had already received the promises of God. And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed. So we are worshiping the one who has the power to give us a blessing. And that is what Abraham did. He recognized the blesser of his life. He said, without question, the one who is blessed, which is me, God, blesses the one who is greater than me. Okay? So, we could go on to verse 15 if you want to. We want to read that, and then I'm going to give you all a chance to share. Jesus is like Melchizedek, verse 15. This change has been made very clear since a different priest who is like Melchizedek has appeared. Okay, so that means that we don't give our tithe to Melchizedek. You know what I'm saying? We present it to our high priest, who is who?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus is our high priest. Okay. Jesus became a priest not by meeting the physical requirements of belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power of life that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied, "You are priests forever in the order of Melchizedek." Okay. Any questions or comments? Got it open now if we want to discuss this. Questions or comments, anyone?
Okay.
Yes.
Earlier, you were talking about how we get out of debt or whatever and have our abundance to pay the tithes or the offering.
To worship God.
To worship God.
Give God his tithe, yes.
I remember one year, this is when I was working, and I went looking for bills to pay. I didn't have any. And I said, "Lord, you got me out of debt." And I said, "I didn't realize that." Listen, I'm serious here. I went looking for bills. I checked everything.
You just knew you owed some, but you couldn't find it.
Yes, I couldn't find it. And I was shaking. I started shaking because I didn't know what to do.
My God.
So it works, y'all. Believe me.
It's God's word.
Yes.
It's God's promise. Amen. It's God's word. It's God's promise. Anyone else? Any other comment? Any testimony or anything about tithing? Yes, ma'am.
I believe that the tithe belongs unto God.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened to some people? They work an amount of money that they believe when they give the tithe it's too much because they believe they're giving the tithe to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So it's too much to give to the church. And that's where we come short. Because if we look in that, well, I work and I have to give $150 to the church, we have to stop look that way. We are giving it unto God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we give it unto God and leave it alone, then the blessing flows back unto us. But if we continue looking on what we give him, then the blessing is not there because he is a if and a might. It's a if and a must. And we can't look that way. I have a friend and she's Catholic. And the priest says, if you even have a dollar, give it. But she can give more. But the priest said, if you even have a dollar, so she give the dollar. And she's the founder of the church, wealth the church. And I can't convince her, no, if you have more, you give your right amount of tithe. Mm. And then God will bless you. But she said, God blessing her anyhow. So some people you can't ask them from they believe.
But see, you can't put a financial blessing. Like she has enough.
Yes.
She says she's putting in a dollar, but
yes,
she's still financially blessed.
Well,
you can't limit the blessing of God to just how much money you have.
Mm-hmm. And next thing, when I was in River of Life, and that man came there, I don't remember his name, and he was praying for everybody. And I said, "Lord, if he's to tell me anything, let he come down into the middle where I stand." And he came right down there. And he said, "I see you looking about children a lot." I never knew it was my grandchildren then. But that's not the point. The point is, when I start to look about my children then, the Spirit said to me, give your tithe. And I gave my tithes, and sometimes I don't know where the blessing come from, but the blessing just flows. Because why? I did what the Spirit tell me to do. And the Spirit will tell you what to do when you start working or when you start earning money. But a lot of people ignore it.
Well, you know, when you give God's tithe into the place where you worship, then you have a vested interest there. So with a vested interest, don't you watch over your interest? So you should be praying for the church. Mm-hmm. You should be praying for the leaders that are in the church, that God would give revelation, that the people in the church would begin to prosper, you know, all the spirit, soul, and body, okay? So you have an investment in God's house where you belong. Obviously, you're here because you believe in what God is doing here, right? Mm-hmm. Is that why you show up on? That's why we show up on Sunday mornings. We believe in what God is doing here. Is that why we tithe and give? That's why I've always, Dina, I've always, why we've always given. First of all, because the Lord said it is worship, and that's what we do. It belongs to Him. And interesting enough, you know, teaching says that if you put it in pocket. If you put the tithe in your pocket, you save it. It will devour whatever it touches. Yeah. It will devour whatever it touches because it belongs to God. It's meant to rebuke the devourer. That's why you want to get rid of it. You want to get rid of it. You don't want to keep it. You want to get rid of it, and you want to put it in God's house.
That's right.
Yes. Amen? That's right. So the devourer is rebuked off of your life, off your family. You can even, you know, Lord, you know, I'm a tither, Father. I'm a tither, I'm part of covenant. What belongs, everything that belongs in covenant? Healing. If you have a healing in your body. Lord God, I'm in covenant with you. Mm-hmm. I'm a tither, Lord God. You promise you to rebuke the devourer off my life, off my body, off the life of my children, everything that belongs to me because I'm in covenant with you, God. Is that true?
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
I went to this church one time and they had a line, and I don't know if any of you ever seen us. They have a line, a $50 line, a $100 line. And I told my cousin, because I went with her, I said, listen, I said, I haven't read in the Bible where it tells you if you get in this line and if you pay $100, you're going to get blessed. If you pay $50, you're going to get $50 worth of blessing. Mm-hmm. And it went on like that. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, that's the way we've been doing it for a long time. I said, well, do you think that it's not right? Because you're putting a lot of pressure on people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you're telling them, you're going to get $100 worth of blessing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people go out of their way to come up with $100. They write a bad check.
No, we got that. Right. Oh, we have to do what's in the scripture, and this is in the scripture, right?
Yes.
This is word. Do y'all think this is enough to digest today?
Yes.
Y'all think this is enough to digest? We'll stop here today. Y'all good with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Lord.